Tienes.
Thank you, Darren. Good afternoon, brethren. We know that the things written in the Old Testament were to establish a foundation for the New Testament. Everything written in God's Word is for our admonition. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We can find that in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. During the time of the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was given a choice of obedience to God, which led to physical blessings, or disobedience, which led to cursings. They were not given God's Holy Spirit. They were led by the prophets and to some extent kings, certain kings. We know that didn't work out too well. During the New Testament era, God gave us His Holy Spirit. We can find that in Acts 2. He sent His sons to make disciples, to instruct them in God's Word, so that they could help to instruct us. He came to show the nation of Israel, and by extension, us, how to live our lives according to God's Word. And He came ultimately to give up His life, to pay the price for our sins and the sins of the world. Paul talked a lot about having Christ in us. Peter did a little bit, and John didn't use the term but implied it. But Paul used the term in many of his epistles, in Romans, in 1 and 2 Corinthians, in Galatians, in Ephesians, in 2 Timothy, and it's implied in 2 Thessalonians. So it is an important term, and that's the title of my message today, Christ in Us. Today we'll look at many of these scriptures that talk about having Christ in us and why it's so important. It's my hope that we will gain a clearer understanding of just how important it is. I'd like to start with taking a look at some foundational reasons in order to get a better understanding of why Paul felt that it was so important. So let's begin in Hebrews. We'll read chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Christ was appointed by God to be an heir of all things. He was the brightness of His, God's, glory, and He was the express image of God. And after He purged us from His sins, our sins, died to pay the price of the penalty of sin for us all. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, God the Father. We can see just through these verses alone that God Himself held His Son in high regard. Why? Because God knew that Christ was going to do everything in accordance with His, God's, will. Christ proved it over and over again during the time He spent on this earth. He was tempted in all things, just like us. We read that in Hebrews 4:15. Remember, He was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted by Satan. You can read that in Mark 1 and verse 13. If you want to turn there, Mark 1 verse 13. It says, "And He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to Him." He not only taught God's word to all of those who would listen, but He lived it even to the point of death. He didn't want to die. He said so. Remember when He said in Luke chapter 22, in verse 41 and 42? Luke 22:41, "And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is Your will, take this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Your will be done.'" So it's perfectly clear here that Christ didn't want to die, but He said, "Not My will, but Yours be done." Whose will? God the Father. We know that in John 14 and verse 6, Christ said, 14 verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." We know that He, Christ, is the bread of life. We can read that in John 6:48. We'll be going over some of that in a couple of months here at the Passover. In John 6:27, it says that God the Father set His seal on Him. Brethren, Christ came to bring us to the Father. In John 5:30, Christ said that He could do nothing of Himself, but I do the will of the Father who sent Me. And a couple of verses down in verse 36 of John 5, He says, "For the works which the Father has given Me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of Me, that the Father has sent Me." So, it is very clear in all of these scriptures that Christ came to lead us to the Father, to show not only us, but the world, how to live a godly life, as I said earlier. He proved it over and over again. He is the heir of all things. He is the brightness of His Father's glory. He is the express image of God the Father. Brethren, Jesus Christ is our standard bearer. He is everything God. He was taught by God the Father. We can read that in John 8:28. Actually, let's pick it up in verse 26. John 8:26. "I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but He who sent Me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from you. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. He came to teach us things that he learned from his Father. He came to teach us the mystery of the gospel, which is a whole other subject, and I hope to talk about that at a later date. It's perfectly clear to me that throughout history, not only the nation of Israel, but rather all of mankind, did not know the Father, and certainly does not want to follow him. Christ was contending with the Jews of the day in John 8. Christ was talking with them basically about the fact that if they did not believe in him and that he came from God, they would die in their sins. Let's read that in John 8, verse 19. Breaking into the thought here, Christ says, then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Dropping down to verse 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Even some of the disciples were unsure of certain aspects of God at times. John chapter 14, verses 5 and 9 through 9, John 14 says, Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen me. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? So, brethren, I think we have looked at enough scriptures that clearly prove the need to have Christ living in us, the need to put on Christ. Acts 4 and verse 12 tells us there is no other name which under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. But we also need to remember that God the Father placed all things under his feet. It was a commission given by the Father. In Acts chapter 2, verse 32 and 33, we read, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. God and Christ are the same in relationship. They are in perfect unity with each other. They were the same in existence. But they are not equal. The Father is supreme. Christ himself told us that on many occasions. My Father is greater than I. The words that I speak are not my own, but the Father who sent me. In closing, I just have a couple more scriptures today. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Brethren, ultimately, it's our faith in God, faith that God's word is truth, faith that he sent Christ to pay the price for our sins, the penalty of which is death, and that he was resurrected and is now sitting on the throne at the right hand of God, the Father. Faith to know that God sent Christ to reveal us to the Father, his plan. And I believe that he came to show us how not only to serve God, but to be servants of God. I believe that that is the mystery which has been hidden. For the final set of scriptures today, let's turn to Colossians 1. And we'll look at we'll start in verse 24. Colossians 1, verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brethren, Christ is God's servant. He was God's servant in the Old Testament. He was God's servant in the New Testament. And he'll be God's servant in the kingdom. And we are to be God's servants too. Brethren, that's why we need to have Christ living in us in order to bring all of these things to fruition.